السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers, we have been discussing the verse of the Quran Sharif, which as I indicated by now, I think all the musallis and all those who have been listening to the different bayans in the month of Ramadan must have by-hearted and memorized, even if though they may not be hafizes of the Quran Sharif, but inshallah they would have learned, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. O you believers, we have prescribed fasting upon you as we prescribed on those before you, la'allakum tattaqoon, so that you may restrain yourself from haram, from evil, from all those things that Allah Ta'ala has prohibited, so that you may develop within yourself the spirit of taqwa, that you do those things that your Creator, your Rabb, has ordered you to do, that you follow Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's beautiful teachings, that you restrain yourself from everything and anything that has been declared haram, forbidden. Because that is the meaning of taqwa, that the person does those things that he has been ordered to do by Allah and restrains himself from that which he has been asked to restrain himself from. So this ayat has been repeatedly mentioned by many, many people in different bayans, wherever they may be giving. And that is exactly the solution to our problem. Everywhere people are bemoaning their problems. The ummah at large is suffering different kinds of hardships, going through different kinds of trials. And people want to find a solution to those problems in different ways. But at the end of the day, we are ending up with multiplied problems. Because without taqwa, we will not get anywhere. Therefore, last week I was discussing the ayat in relation to Surah Badr, the Battle of Badr, and it is a general verse for all times. In tasbiru wa tattaqu la yadurrukum kaiduhum shay'a. That if you have to adopt sabr and taqwa, then all their planning and all their mischief and all their plotting and all their scheming is not going to harm you in any way. So sometimes we get the wrong impression that taqwa now means that there must be no preparation of any kind for anything. The person must just read namaz, make zikr, tilawat, ibadat, and he's got taqwa. Definitely that was not the meaning of taqwa. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went into the battle of Badr, he went into the battle of Uhud, he went to Khandaq where he dug the trench, participated in the digging of the trench himself. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam led the expedition at the time of the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam entered into treaty at Hudaybiyah. When he came to Madinah Sharif, then there was a treaty with the Jews. Now all these things were taking place, but the foundation and the base was taqwa. That in everything there was just one goal and one objective, and that was to gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. It was not just to take off our own anger. It was not just to give vent to our anger. If you look at the history of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's battles also, there was no question of just giving vent to anger, that he just wanted to destroy the enemies. His concern was their hidayat. But if there is a fire that has caught on somewhere, and the fire brigade is moving, then the people must move out of the way. Now if some people put their cars in between and they say, we are not going to move, we are going to block your road, we are going to block your movement to the site where the fire has caught on and it is raising the buildings to the ground, so then what will they do? Then they will remove those cars from the way. They will even topple them if they have to be toppled, because they have to go and put off that fire, which if it is allowed to go on raging, then it will cause tremendous amount of destruction. So that is what jihad was all about. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was inviting them towards truth, towards haq. He was giving them a message which gave them the best of this world and the akhirat. And he was asking them to believe in that creator, who is the creator of all souls in the universe and the provider of all bounties and gifts, and who deserved, or who is the only one worthy of worship. But now, instead of accepting that message, they came into opposition. Then too, if they said that, okay, we will pay some tax, jizya, and stay under your subjugation, it was acceptable. But they said, no, we will fight with you. So then it has to be looked in that context. Nevertheless, what I am discussing is this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his life, we don't say that he only sat and made dua. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam actively participated in everything. But the basis of all participation was nothing but taqwa. To gain the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the basis of piety. There was no question of just trying to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but according to our own whims and fancies. Then Allah Ta'ala's madad, His help, His nusrat, it does not come. That is the usul and that is the principle. If only we can understand this, if the ummah can understand that, then they will get barakah, they will get help of Allah Ta'ala, they will be successful, they will be victorious, and they will keep on moving. But if the taqwa is not there, then no matter how much of effort is put in different directions, the end result will be more chaos. The end result will be more problems and difficulties. Because Allah Ta'ala has not become pleased with that kind of action of ours. I'm just giving some isharat and signs that if you have to look at the state of the world in general, this is our condition. So if we have to look at this taqwa, now different ayats of the Quran Sharif, they all exhort us towards the same thing, to develop this taqwa. Purpose of worship in Islam is again the same thing, to get taqwa. The fulfillment of the rights of the people is again only possible if the person has taqwa. If he doesn't have that, he's not going to fulfill the rights, no matter how much of speeches he listens to, no matter how many Quranic verses can be recited, no matter how much of hadiths you can recite. But if that person doesn't have that khawf of Allah Ta'ala in his heart, then he's not going to accept. He will listen and he will disobey. Sami'na wa aswayna was the sifat of the disbelievers, that we heard, we listened, and we will disobey. And we disobeyed. And the believers, they said, sami'na wa ata'na. After listening, they didn't say we are going to disobey. Or they didn't go in the line of disobedience. Immediately they went in the light of obedience. So in this verse of the Quran Sharif, now some sifats have been mentioned, because we have to see the signs. The doctors also look for symptoms. They say, what are the symptoms that you have got this sickness or that disease? And from there then they diagnose. So there must be some signs, some symptoms. There must be some kind of sign that this person has now developed some taqwa in him. So many, many ayats of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala describes the sifats of the believers, the attributes of the believers, or those who are muttaqeen, those who have got taqwa in their lives. But in the very beginning of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This book, there is no doubt at all. هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It is a guidance for those who have taqwa. It is a guidance for the muttaqeen. Now there is great amount of tafsir on this ayat, but in this few minutes I just want to give one or two points. that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala first of all says that there is no doubt. In this book there is no doubt at all. The Quran Sharif, there is no doubt. Then we say, but lots of people have got lots of doubts. So if they have got doubts, then that doubt is in their mind, or it is due to their weakness of understanding, or their intelligence. They cannot seem to comprehend and understand, or they haven't got that kind of faith and yaqeen and belief. That is why they are having doubts. Because if you have to look at the recent research on various ayats of the Quran Sharif, the medical scientists, they have started researching. Whatever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave as a description of birth, that how is the child born. Now Allah Ta'ala just gave it in two or three words or one or two ayat. And now they went into research and they found that it is exactly what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif. And they may have differed in their opinions over a period of time, but they found that that what Allah Ta'ala had mentioned is the correct version. So now the doubt is because this person doesn't have the knowledge, complete knowledge, perfect knowledge. He is all the time experimenting. So new experiment, then they come out, and new research, then they come out with a new theory. As I said that one time, Ulna Sahib Wanulin used to say that one time, they used to say that the apple, the vitamins are in the core. So you must take the peel off and you must eat the core. Then they said that no, the vitamins are both in the peel and the core. So you must eat the peel and the core. He says, now very soon you will hear of a research that all the vitamins are just in the peels. So throw the core away and just eat the peel. So that is the condition of our research. And if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or the Quran Sharif says something, then it is the truth and nothing but the truth. So ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Now this is where people become a little doubtful. They say that the Quran Sharif says that it is هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It is a guidance for those who are muttaqeen. So then what about all of us? Or what about mankind in general? If it is not a guidance for them, then what is the purpose of them reading the Quran? What is the purpose of them understanding the Quran Sharif? Because it's not guidance for them. It's already guidance for the muttaqeen, those who are very pious, righteous, God-fearing. It's guidance for them. So now that is our misunderstanding again. That doubt is because of our misunderstanding. Because there are different stages of taqwa. One is the taqwa of the ordinary person. Just as hidayat has got different stages, guidance has got different stages. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives guidance to creatures, to animals, to birds, to insects, to the leaves of trees. If you look at the Quran Sharif, there are many ayat in which the word hidayat has been used. There's no time to go into all those ayat and details. Now that is in accordance with their need. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them a kind of a guidance. Then there's guidance for mankind in general, that when the Quran Sharif will be recited, those people will either listen and accept, or they will not accept. But it is guidance for all. But if they don't accept it, that is their decision. Allah Ta'ala will deal with them accordingly in the hereafter or in this world. But the fact is that it is a guidance. Then it is guidance for those who have that understanding that we are going to go into the hereafter, and that the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is haq, and whatever message he brings, it is haq, and this revelation is haq. So now the person that will accept that, he will get guidance. Then that guidance again will have stages, the guidance for the ordinary Muslim and the guidance for the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the awliya, for all of them, different stages of guidance, there's no limit to it. So here the muttaqeen means that those people who have got taqwa, for them it is perfect guidance, that whatever ayat they will read, whatever hukam of Allah they will come across, they will make amal on it. And how did they become muttaqeen? They became muttaqeen because of the same Quran Sharif. I think I gave that example that if a person has to say that this is a matriculant syllabus, or it's a BA course, you say that this course here, it is BA course, or accountant course. Now it doesn't mean that first you have to be an accountant to do that course, or first you have to be a matriculant to do that course, or first you have to be a BA graduate to do that course. What it means that if you do this course, you will become a matriculant. If you do this course, then you will become an accountant. So So in the same way, if you do this cause, if you read the Quran Sharif, you understand it, and you practice upon it, then you will become muttaqin. By reading the Quran Sharif and making amal on those ayat of the Quran Sharif, then you will get hidayat and you will become muttaqin, of the muttaqin. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that there is no doubt in it. And He challenged people of those days and up till Qiyamah that if you have any kind of proof, then you bring it. But that is again a different subject. Here we are talking about taqwa. So the sifats that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has described of the believers, or those people who are on guidance, or those people who have got taqwa. Allah Ta'ala says, Alladheena yu'minuna bil ghaib. That if we are claiming that now after this fasting of so many days, now we have developed some taqwa in our lives, because that was the purpose of fasting. So then yu'minuna bil ghaib. They are those who believe in the unseen. One is just acknowledging or just confirming something which we see with our eyes. Then that is not iman bil ghaib. If I have to say that this shirt is white in color, and the person who has got good sight is not blind, and he sees, yes, it is white, and he confirms it, yes, it is white, then we will not say that he has brought iman bil ghaib, that is making tasdeeq of ghaib. We won't call that tasdeeq. Why? Because he can see with his eyes. Iman bil ghaib is all those things that we cannot see with our eyes, we cannot hear with our ears, we cannot touch and feel. All the senses are not involved. We cannot comprehend it with our understanding. We just accept it on the authority of someone. Now here iman bil ghaib will mean that we accept whatever Rasul-e Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to us on his authority, that he is a Rasul of Allah Ta'ala. He received the revelation, and whatever he received from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is nothing but the truth. And his whole life, there was nothing in his life except honesty, truthfulness. Even his enemies called him As-Sadiq Al-Ameen. And he never spoke a lie all his life. And then if we have to look at his life again, that he did not go and study at any person's feet. He didn't go to any university, college or madrasa or Darul Uloom. And he didn't meet those scientists of those days. Then this Quran Sharif, which discusses so many things, the histories of the Anbiya of the past, and so many other philosophies, and so many other things, then how could he have just produced that? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, being the perfect guide, being the perfect prophet, being the closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so we accept it on his authority. That whatever he gave to us, whatever knowledge he conveyed to us, we believe in that because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has conveyed it to us. Now in there we will get Jannat, we will get Jahannam, we will get the Akhirat, we will get the Pul Sirat, we will get the life after death in the Qabr, and we will get so many other things of the unseen world. Now all that we believe in, yuqinun, they believe in, they have that yaqeen, the assurance that it is definitely haq, it is not just a knowledge. If a person has got the knowledge that fire burns, so then he doesn't put his hand into fire because he knows that it burns. And if his yaqeen is that it burns, he's definitely not going to put his hand into the fire. But the person who just got the, if he has got the yaqeen, he won't put his hand. But if he just got a vague knowledge, he's not too sure, he just heard from somebody that fire burns, then probably he would like to test whether it does burn or not. So here we believe in Rasul-e Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whatever he brought from Allah Ta'ala, it is haq. Now that is where now we come to our lives. That if we have to look at our lives, do we have yaqeen or do we have just some knowledge of Allah Ta'ala's existence, some knowledge of Jannat Jahannam. So that taqwa is not developing in our hearts. So the first thing that is mentioned there in the early verses of Surah Baqarah is yu'minuna bil ghaib. Now again that has got a plenty of tafsir, but there's no time for that. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. And they establish their salat. Now if we have got taqwa, or if we have developed some sort of taqwa, of course there are many other ayat, but here in these ayat, just these three things I mentioned, or four things. So now these people, they make the salat. Because all the ibadat that you look at, it is either something which involves the physical body, or it involves wealth. Now from all the ibadat that involves the body, the greatest ibadat is that of namaz. So in this month of Ramadan itself, now we have to look around the world. Don't look at our own home or a few people in our neighborhood. We have to look around the world and see what percentage of Muslims have now established their namaz. Because of this fasting, they develop some sort of taqwa. So now they have got iman bil ghaib and they've established their namaz. Not just reading namaz. They've established it. The faraiz, the wajibat, the sunnats, the mustahabat. Everything. They make their namaz as it should be made. Yuqimuna as-salah. Wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqoon. And of that which we have given them as rizq, they spend. Now again, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, of all the ibadat that is connected with wealth, he mentions in this ayat that whatever we have given to them, they spend out of that. Now this ayat itself has got great amount of meaning. But because the time is expiring, I will just give you a conclusion that this is the purpose of this fasting in Ramadan, that we must develop this taqwa. And then we must look at ourselves in the light of all these ayat of the Quran Sharif. That have those qualities come into us because of this fasting. Because if we fasted properly, then we would have had taqwa. And taqwa will bring in all these qualities. So if we have got to some extent these qualities, we will make shukr and increase. But if we haven't as yet developed anything, then it means that there is something seriously wrong with this fasting of ours also. That we have not observed the fast as it should be observed. So whatever days are gone, are gone. I gave one example last year. I said that people, I think it was on the 29th night, I said people who are going for Hajj, now if there are 5 flights or 6 flights that we're going to leave for Hajj after Ramadan, just for argument's sake, there were just 10 flights that we're going to leave for Hajj. And the person was trying, or he was always having this intention of going, but his intention remained intention. He kept saying, I'll apply for my passport today, I'll try and go get my visas tomorrow, and I will see the agent, I will do this and I will do that, but he did nothing. He was negligent, he was indifferent, or laziness had gripped him. Now, as a result, what happened? The first flight took off and went away. Now he said, no, the next one I will catch that. I will now make sure that by tomorrow I'll get my visas and I'll make the application and I'll get my passport and everything. 2-3 days later, due to his own negligence and laziness, the other flight took off too. Like that, he kept on procrastinating and delaying, and what happened is all the flights went away. So then he will not be able to go for Hajj. But if there's 1 or 2 still left to take off, then this person will say, well, still I've got 1 more chance. Let me make the best of the effort that I can make and see if I can catch the last flight at least. So in the same way, the nights of Ramadan, the days of Ramadan, they were all flights to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One by one they were going. It was to build a connection with Allah ta'ala. It was to make us reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It was to bring Allah ta'ala into our hearts, and it was to bring all the ni'mats and the gifts of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But we delayed it. We kept saying, tomorrow I will start. Tomorrow I will give up my sins and I'll make sure that I spend the day correctly and I'll spend the night correctly. In the meantime, what happened? The 20 days went past and we came into the last 10. When we came into the last 10, then the person said, yes, yes, now it is the right time. There's just few flights left. Now let me catch the 21st night flight. But when the 21st night came, then again he got caught up with all his gossiping and chit-chat and idle talk and waste of good time in futile activities. So that flight also took off. Then again, he got some josh in it and he said, no, now I made a big mistake. I wasted most of my time, but there's another one now taking off on the 23rd. But when the 23rd came and went, again it was the same thing. Laziness, procrastination. So that's how all the flights are going. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan and fazal that there are a few left. But we don't know whether we will get those flights. So let us make up our minds and our niyats and our intentions that whatever time is gone, is gone. Let us get connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and enjoy that sweetness of iman in our hearts. Once we get a taste of that sweetness, then we will throw away all those sinful things of our lives. If a person hasn't tasted a sweet mango and the person has got a sour one in his hand, No matter how much you tell him to throw it away, he's not going to throw it away. But if you give him the sweet one and he gets the taste of the sweet one, then he will throw the sour one away. So like that, let us try in the next few nights that are left. It's just a few nights left. Cut short, curtail our worldly activities as much as we can. Don't increase them now in these last few nights and days. And then get to the masjid and spend as much time, or even at home if you have to go home, then there to cut down on all the unnecessary things. And spend the remaining few nights and days correctly. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is so merciful, so forgiving, so kind, so compassionate and so loving, wallah, that just 1 minute of sincere tawbah of this person, that Ya Allah, I wasted my Ramadan and I've just got a few days left. Ya Allah, give me the tawfiq of now spending the time correctly and getting this connection with you, and give me the sweetness of iman in my heart. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not deprive that person. So tonight is again a big night, is an auspicious night. It's the 25th night, and the days and nights are just going so fast. So don't waste it in futile activity. Get to the masjid and spend as much time in the masjid as possible. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal, and may Allah ta'ala bless us with all the best of rewards of this world and the akhirat. May Allah ta'ala must remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the entire ummah throughout the world. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.